The storm front arrived about 6. Clouds rolled in, first purple and then becoming inky black, roiling, whipped into tormented shapes, with edges as sharp as if carved by invisible knives. Wind howled, rain pounded down in torrents. Thunder rolled, and jagged streamers of lightning strobed the sky. Raven huddled on the deck, sheltered by the overhang, watching huge waves pounding the rocks and shore. Blinding flashes of actinic light were followed by deafening crashes of thunder. Lightning strikes were close and all around, coming so fast he could not count them. The thunderclaps merged into a constant roar. The flashes were too bright to look at directly. Raven smelled ozone. He could taste it on the air, metallic and acrid on his tongue. The big fir exploded about 50 yards from the cabins. It did not burn. It shattered into hundreds of pieces, the debris instantly swept away by the winds. Ribbons of blue-white fire lashed the sea like laser beams. There was no way he was going to walk a few hundred yards to the restaurant, even if he made it. The power was out. No hot food tonight. Raven struggled to his feet to go inside, leaning into the wind. He turned his gaze back towards the sea, only to catch a blast that would have humbled 1,000 flashbulbs. He closed his eyes tight and dropped to his knees, fingers interlaced, with his arms sheltering his head and covering his ears, backing into the most sheltered location he could find, the upwind corner formed by the building and the privacy wall that edged the deck. He felt the rolling thunder through his entire body and did his best to curl himself into a ball. Time passed. When the after images faded from his vision, Raven crawled inside on his hands and knees. The sound diminished only when he latched the double-glazed sliding door. Wow. He leaned against the couch, for a time taking deep breaths, thankful for the shelter. When his heart stopped pounding, food and a cold beer came to mind. Using his flashlight with the red lens, he prowled the kitchenette, coming up with a tin of sardines, Tillamook cheese, a box of crackers, and a six-pack of cold IPA. Raven settled down on the couch facing the slider to the deck, watched the storm, and remembered. The IPA brought back memories. On his last mission, the Brits had introduced him to India Pale Ale. They said it dated back to the 19th century and Queen Victoria. He sat there, pondering his last mission, sipping the hoppy, slightly bitter brew, thinking of a small, gentle woman with soft eyes and long brown hair. She had been a casualty, and it was his fault. Josie was a national treasure, a woman with unique talents. In a different time long ago, she had been a pagan high priestess. The few in Washington who knew of her existence called her a remote viewer, a paranormal, but that was if they spoke of her at all, a rare event which would occur only at the highest security levels in hushed tones and on a need-to-know basis. At the beginning, that was all he and Josie had in common. Neither officially existed. Neither could share their inner secrets. Neither dared develop close relationships. Beyond that, they came from different worlds, lived in different universes. Josie lived on a higher plane, a land of radiance and bright spirits. Raven prowled the deep dark of midnight. There he hunted monsters, part of a thin black line that sought to protect more peaceful souls. They were forced together by necessity, both national and personal. Josie was tasked with providing high-value intelligence. Raven was to protect her so she could do the work. It grew to be more than that. Alone against the world, the two bonded, first as associates, then as a team, then as friends, and finally as lovers and mates. For Raven, it was the closest thing to living he had ever known, sharing. Trust. He always woke up thinking about Josie, her gentle spirit, love, and paranormal powers of perception, and of how he'd almost destroyed her. Mostly, he thought of that. When terrorist assassins came, he had been badly wounded, and she had been forced to kill. It had damaged her mind. That he was responsible, even if by accident, broke his heart. He kept missing Josie, revisiting what went wrong and how much of it was his fault. They said she was catatonic, being tended in some high-security medical unit. He was not allowed to see her, but the experts assured him she would be fine, in time. Raven had doubts. He remembered the old Spielberg movie. Experts said the same about E.T., the funny-looking little alien with psychic powers who was rescued by children who took it home. Shit happened. Government came to help. And E.T. wound up in a plastic bubble, tended by clueless technicians in NASA spacesuits who were unknowingly killing him. That was the part of the movie that grabbed him. Death by ignorance. E.T. far from home, dying accidentally because those treating him were acting in a realm beyond their limits of knowledge. Raven did not like the movie, and now Josie was living it. Trust us, they said. The more sincerely they said it, the more Raven was convinced they didn't have a freaking clue.